Let the church say amen.
Amen,
amen again.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God didn't have to wake us up this morning, but grace stopped at our doors, and we ought to be excited about the fact that God was so gracious this morning. Amen. We thank God for this opportunity to stand before you again. Pastor Rogers, in his absence, well, he's going to be here, but I just thank God for Pastor Rogers giving me the opportunity to stand before you and expound on God's word. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, once again for this another day that you have made. We are rejoicing, and we are glad to be here in it, O Lord. You didn't have to touch us with the finger of love this morning, but you did, Lord, and we just want you to know that we thank you. We just thank you for your word, which is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. We need your word, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord. We just need your power, Lord, working in our lives. We pray right now that you will speak to me, Lord God, that I might speak to your people. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. I have a desire, Lord, to speak to your people, Lord, but they know, you know what they need to hear, Lord. Speak to them, Lord, through me, and we will give you all honor, glory, and praise. In the powerful name of Jesus, we do pray. And in the whole church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to be coming out of the book of Psalms again, Psalms chapter 1, and we will read Psalms chapter 1 in its entirety. Pastor Rogers wanted me to kind of address those last three verses from last week to, you know, concerning the godly, the ungodly. So we're going to start right there. First of all, giving honor to God, which is the head of my life. Pastor Rogers, Lady Rogers, the other ministers of the gospel, my priest brethren, the officers of this great, members and friends, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also those who are participating via Zoom, we greet you as well. If you have to say amen.
Amen.
And I will be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just kind of somewhat of a recap of last week. We you know, we talked about the true blessed, the blessed man, the real blessed man. His blessings are not based on what the world has to offer. Our true blessings don't come from a parallel standpoint. It comes from a vertical standpoint. Amen. Every good and perfect gift cometh downward from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And I've never seen a Mercedes come from above. I've never seen that big house come from above. I've never seen that six-figure salary come from above. But we know that every good and perfect gift has come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. So in other words, he don't change, and there's no variableness in him. There's no variations. He's a real, true, and living God. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I met him. I'm glad I finally met the Lord. So this blessed man is the one that the blessed man, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But let's keep it real. See, there was a time where this blessed man, who's now blessed because he's been born again. Amen. That's when you're blessed. When you have truly been born again, that's when you experience the blessings of God. Why? Because now you have received life. And you have received life eternal. So guess what?
We ain't got to be scared of dying no more.
Am I the only one that used to be scared of dying? See, because you didn't know what was going to happen to you after you died. Amen. See, but now we have a blessed assurance, and we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of what? Of redemption. We know that God going to come back and get us. And there's no doubt in my mind that he's coming back to get me. Amen. So this blessed man no longer walks in the counsel of the ungodly. This blessed man no longer stands with the sinner. This blessed man no longer sits with the scorners. Now this blessed man, what he wants to do is he wants to walk in the counsel of the godly. That's why we're here tonight, amen. We have a desire to walk in the counsel of the godly. This blessed man no longer wants to stand in the midst of sinners. This blessed man wants to stand in the midst of what? Of the saints. That's where you belong now. You belong with the saints. This blessed man is no longer a scoffer of God. He no longer plays with God. He no longer takes advantage or plays with that thing which is holy. How many know God is holy? God is a holy God. So it ain't no such thing as no Christian community, no Christian comedian. You might be a funny man, but you ain't no Christian comedian. Because ain't nothing funny about Jesus Christ. Nothing funny about Jesus Christ. So when you laughing at what's so-called Christian jokes, what you're doing is you're mocking and playing, taking light that thing which is holy. We no longer do that, amen? We no longer do those things. So this blessed man is no longer doing what the ungodly man is doing. But now he has gotten to the point to where he is now. For some reason, something has happened in his life to where he delights in the law of God. Something has happened in his life to where as now he wants to know something about the Lord. What something has happened in his life that has changed his appetite, has changed the way he looks at life. And what has happened is the Holy Spirit gives you a different appetite. It gives you an appetite for the things of God. It gives you an appetite to know God. Those of us who are married in here, and even though if you're not married, when you found your good thing, when you found your good thing, you thought about it all the time, didn't you? When you found your he-man, ladies, you thought about him all the time, didn't you? Especially when you start wanting to really get to know him, you thought about him all the time. Then what you do, you call him just for no reason. What you doing, baby? What you got going on? What you doing later on? Couldn't wait to see him. See, that's the way your appetite should be when it comes to the Lord now. You should delight. You should have a hunger and thirst for his word to the point you don't never want to stop thinking about him. You don't ever want to stop talking about him in your spirit, man. Hey, you're going to be excited about the Lord because you want to get to know him now. See, you used to know of him. See, but now you want to get to know him. See, there was a time we just only knew of him. But now I want to get to know him. I've been to church all my life. But I ain't know the Lord all my life. I knew about him. I knew Jesus well. I knew God so loved the world. But I didn't know the experience of that love. See, but once I experienced that love, when the Holy Spirit came in my heart and he shed his light in my heart through the power of the Holy Ghost, now I can experience that love. Why? Because he's given me that love in my heart. So my delight is in the law of the Lord, and I'm meditating on it day and night. It reminds me of the cow. Notice say the cow got several bellies. So the cow goes out in the morning, and he eats grass that's wet. That's in the morning. It's got a lot of dew on it. So then in the heat of the day, the cow finds a shade spot, brings that up out of his stomach back into his mouth because he want to get every bit of that juice out of it, all the ingredients. So they call it chewing the cud. So the cow's going to continue to chew on it throughout that day until he get every bit of it. See, that's what we got to do to God's word. We got to chew on it until we get every bit of it. You chew on it until you get understanding. See, the more you chew on it, the more God knows that you want him. And then guess what? He's going to reveal to you what's in his word. He's going to reveal it to you. See, there was a time when I read the Bible and I didn't understand nothing. Didn't understand nothing. It was like Greek or Spanish. But now when I read the word, I meditate on it. And then God gonna give me revelation. And guess what? I get excited about that. So your delight, your joy, your excitement will be in the law of the Lord. And then in verse 3 it says, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, it said it was planted, right? It didn't say it just showed up. A bird didn't drop that seed. This seed was planted by the rivers of water. God is the one that plants. Amen? God is the one that plants us by the rivers of water. God is, you make sure you let God plant you. Amen? See, too many folks want to plant themselves. The pulpit is running over with folks God ain't called. They want to plant themselves. And see, when God ain't called you, what you become is a dead tree. How many have used the trees for Christmas? You go out and buy you a live tree. How many? Don't raise your hand, but you have bought the live trees, right? Okay. Can I let you know something? In actuality, you done brought a dead tree in the house. You didn't bring no live tree. See, because the tree been cut off from its source. So what you got in the house is a dead tree. So when you walk in front of God and God ain't planted you, what you are is a dead tree. And you will never bear fruit. You might look green for a little while. You might sound right when you're preaching. You might sound, but eventually you're gonna start turning brown. Why? Because God ain't planted you. You make sure God plants you. So when God plants you, you're going to be fruitful. See, because we look in John 15. John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine. And he that abides in me will bring forth fruit. But he abideth not in me shall not bring forth fruit. So in other words, Jesus is saying, unless you connected to me, you can't do nothing. And that's what he said in his word, amen? You can't do nothing, all right? So what we have is this. You got folks that's trying to do the work of Christ that ain't never met Christ. Trying to do the work of Christ that ain't, whose life ain't never been touched by Christ. I have met people that say they've been called to preach and couldn't find Jesus' whip in the Bible. They ain't let God condition them. Look, when you've been a sinner 35 years, it's going to take some years to get the hell out of you. It's going to take some years to get that out you, what you've always had in you. It's going to take some while. So that's why it talks about bringing fruit in a season. See, God has to work with you. Then the Bible say, whom he foreknew, he also predestined that they be conformed to the image of his son. God got to conform you. Some things he got to cut out you. Some things you got to squeeze out you in order to get something in you. So the leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, we got to stop as the church is looking at prospering through the eyes of the world. Now, it's nothing wrong with your beautiful cars, homes, and nice jobs, and money in the bank. Thank God for that. But just make sure that God is on the throne in your life. See, because if God is not on the throne in your life, then you still got Jesus on the cross. See, but when Jesus comes into your heart and you allow him to be on the throne in your heart, then you got to get on the cross. You have to get on the cross. Then the apostle, I die daily. We gotta get to the point where we can die daily. See, because other than that, you won't ever be fruitful. So Jesus said, I am the true vine. You are the branches. So what Jesus wants us to know is this, that a propagation has to take place. In other words, a grafting in has to take place. Now, I can be considered a horticulturalist. So, but a lot of the plants that you see is this. A lot of the varieties that you see have been created through what you call propagating. And so what they would do is they would take a cutting from another plant and attach it to the host plant. Okay, an example. You take a pecan tree branch and you attach it to a fig tree branch. And when you cut it at an angle and put them together and wrap it, the source of energy that produces figs will start going through that pecan tree branch. Guess what? That branch will never produce pecans again. Why? Because it has a different host. So if we have been grafted into Christ, if we are part of his body, we ought to start producing some different type of fruit. There ought to be a different type of fruit showing up. It ought to be a little less lying on folks. It ought to be a less backbiting folks. It ought to be a little less ditch digging for folks. Because if you connected to Jesus, he said you shall bring what? Much fruit. Jesus said, if you connected to me, you shall bring forth what? Much fruit. And it can start off with the fruits of the Spirit. If you connected to Jesus, you would experience real love for the first time. You would experience real love, serious love. You know, I used to lie to myself and didn't even know I was lying to myself. I used to have the saying that, you know what? I love people. But it took the Lord to tell me that I was lying to myself. It wasn't that I loved people. I wanted to be loved by people. See, because if I had loved people, I wouldn't have hurt so many people. See, because love don't hurt. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love is tender. Love is kind. See, but the love that I had was not God's type of love. It was Greg McGee's type of love. And that type of love comes from the God of this world. Amen? Yes, Lord. So whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. Now, this prosper is not talking about the world's type of prosper. This prosper is talking about God's type of prosper. See, every man, woman, and boy, and girl that has been born again has a God-destined purpose. And until you operate in that purpose, you ain't really prospering. That's when you're really prospering. Now let me ask you this. Stephen, we remember Stephen, right? They got stoned. The first martyr, right? The question, did he prosper? Was he prosperous? He was prosperous in God's eyes. Why? Because he died for the faith. Was Peter prosperous in God's eyes? Was Apostle Paul prosperous in God's eyes? See, God's prosperity is different from ours. Two of the greatest preachers that I've ever heard in my life, one Adrian Rogers and G.E. Patterson, succumbed to cancer. But until the end, they lifted up Jesus. Did they prosper in the eyes of God? They prospered in the eyes of God. Why? Because they did what God had called them to do until the end. They rolled G.E. Patterson in the pulpit in a wheelchair. But guess what? He was still preaching Jesus. Still preaching and teaching Jesus. Adrian Rogers dried up like a prune almost. But whenever he had an opportunity, he still lifted up the name of Jesus. That's the type of prospering that God is looking for. Those that are willing to stand the test of time and do whatever it takes to stand for Jesus. I remember when I was telling one of my family members about Adrian Rogers and G. Patterson. We was talking about faith, and that her response was, maybe they just didn't have enough faith. I said, well, what we're dealing with here is mountaintop faith versus valley faith. See, you got mountaintop faith because ain't nothing ever happened in your life. See, but God is looking for valley faith. God is looking for faith that will stand regardless of what happened. If Greg McGee gets cancer or a report of cancer, I shouldn't shut up in my shell and go home and sit down. I still got to preach and teach the gospel that God has given me to preach and teach. See, we got to develop mountaintop mean valley faith as opposed to mountaintop faith. So God's design purpose is where the real prospering takes place. Now look at verse 4. It says the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. See, one thing we need to know about the ungodly. See, the ungodly are not necessarily the folks that in the Bessemer County or in the state prison. See, we tend to look at the ungodly because they got a criminal record. See, you got a whole bunch of ungodly, they never had a record. They ain't got no record. But they ungodly in the eyes of God. They don't break laws. They can keep man's law, but they break God's laws. And without a conscience. It doesn't even bother them. So you got ungodly. Some of the ungodly are called what we call pseudo-Christians. Pseudo-Christian. And those are the ones that know how to act like a Christian. Dress like them. Talk like them. Pray like them. Preach like them. They'll give you a turkey every once in a while. But they ain't met Jesus. They ain't met Jesus. See, that's a pseudo-Christian. Then you have those, the ungodly, that won't receive Jesus. Why? Because if you look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, it says, if this gospel be hid, it is hid from those who are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them through unbelief, lest the glorious gospel of Christ shall shine unto them. So you got those that are blind, that have been blinded by Satan. And one of the key tools that Satan uses to blind folks is religion. It's religion. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I remember years ago they had the watchtower, they had like a big tower on it. Then several years ago, I noticed they had a picture of what's supposed to be like Jesus on it. That's a means of drawing you in. They draw you into that cult, into a building with no windows. See, we proclaim the gospel openly. What they doing, they want to do secretly. And the gospel is what designed to be proclaimed openly. So we have to be careful so we can know what's of God and what's not of God. How can you know it if you don't study God's word? How do you know it if you don't study God's word? See, some folks don't think there's nothing wrong with going to the casinos. And I remember before I got saved, like you see buses down there, church buses. But I ain't never seen nobody witnessing. So I don't know what they were doing back, but they wasn't witnessing. But church buses at the casino. Now, when you study God's word, you'll understand the problem that God has with that. I've even heard Christians say, yeah, I went down there and won $1,100. Because God know I need that new refrigerator. God and the devil don't work together. You got to stand on one side of the fence or the other. God and the devil don't work together. So the problem that God, just to let you know, the problem that God has with the casinos is this. For one, you ain't trusting him. You're not trusting him for your provisions. Ain't he on time God? He might not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. So you're not trusting him for your provisions. And secondly, in order for you to win, somebody got to lose. For you to win, folks are lost. They bill money, they house money, etc. For you to win. See, God is more, he wraps his arm around commerce. Whereas there is a win-win. You pay me $60 to come cut your grass, I get that $60 out there finished cutting your grass. That's a win-win. Amen? I didn't lose, you didn't lose. God don't bless nothing when you are going and somebody got to lose for you to gain. So if you're going to the casinos, tear your ticket up. See, because you're going to be held accountable for what you've heard tonight. Amen? You ain't got no excuse. See, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. The ungodly. Those that make their decisions and God is nowhere in it. God, they don't utilize God's wisdom to make their decision. They don't consult God. Did you not know the word of God says the wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God? Where do you find some of the foolishest wisdom? In the universities. Amen? In the universities. Because these folks so smart and intelligent that they are preaching against God. They're teaching against God. Not preaching. They're teaching against God. So you have ungodly folks in high places. Ungodly folks in high places. But God lets us know that they got an end. So when they pass them by on these big, beautiful cars and you envious of them, go back and think about Asaph. Asaph in chapter 73 of Psalms, he said he almost slipped. He almost slipped and fell when he looked on the rich man and all that he came into possession of and how he didn't seem to hurt for nothing. But Asaph had little or nothing, but he wanted to live a life that was pleasing to God. So it almost deterred him from wanting to, what good is it for me to please God, to serve God, when everybody around me is doing good but me? See, but I want to remind you what the word of the Lord says. Had not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, to be heirs to the kingdom of them, to them that love him. Had not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, to be heirs to the kingdom of those who love him, to his kingdom. So it don't matter to God what you got. It don't matter to the Lord what you ain't got. God just wants your committed love. God wants you to stand for him, live for him, and be willing to die for him. Amen. See, but the ungodly, when they say, I say, he went into the sanctuary. But when I went into the sanctuary and I saw they in, then he changed the way he looked at them. See, it looked like the ungodly is getting away. See, but when you look in Ecclesiastes, it says that because sentence is not given expediently against an evil work, it is set in the hearts of men to do evil. So in other words, because God don't slap you down right then and there for what you're doing evil, you think you're getting away with it. Can I tell you, you ain't getting away. There's going to come a day called judgment. And that's what we're talking about at the end of this passage. There will be a judgment. So you got to be careful of what you do. You got to be careful of what you think. Because everything you do and think has a future. It has a future. It has a future. And you want to make sure that with that judgment bell rings, that you're in the right line. You're in the right line. See, because the Bible says that it's going to be a whole bunch of folks thinking they're going to heaven. What did Jesus say? Matthew 7, 21, 22. Everybody says, Lord, Lord, to me, ain't going to enter in. Everybody say, Lord, Lord, ain't going to enter. But they're going to say, Lord, have we not prophesied in our name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful and marvelous works in thy name? And Jesus said, I will profess to you, I never knew you. See, you're doing the work, but you don't know the Lord. That's a dangerous place to be in. See, watch this. The devil don't care how close you get to salvation. He ain't got no problem with you preaching and teaching, just as long as you don't meet the Lord. As long as you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Close to salvation don't mean a thing to him. You can't impress me. Because I ain't nobody either. I'm just trying to get in. I'm trying to get in just like everybody else. So the ungodly are not so but like the chaff. So everything that they gain is going to be blown away. Remember last week we use Lot as an example, amen? The man that had pitched his tent towards Sodom. And eventually, he moved into Sodom. And eventually, he became an official of Sodom. So that's what sin does. We talked about sin is progressive. So you need to turn from your wicked ways before you get them started good. And the thing about it, when we talk about the ungodly and righteous can be used in the same sentence or together. I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. See, we need to hear these things. Because the church doing the same thing the world doing. And God ain't happy. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, male prostitutes, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Amen. So if you're doing these things and saying you're going to heaven, you're lying to yourself. Because it just says you ain't getting in. Amen. So if you think you got a relationship with God and you committing adultery, you saying you got a relationship with God, you fornicating, you're abuser of yourself with mankind. If you think you got a relationship with God, you ain't got no relationship with God. What you have done is you have created in your mind a God. See, but you ain't worshiping the God of the Bible. So you cannot operate living in sin and saying you're in good standards with God. You can't. You telling a lie if you're saying that. You cannot. So, but the wicked shall be like the shaft driven away by the wind. So when it was time for the barley harvest, what they would do is they would cut the barley, crush it, and then to separate the husk, the part that could not be used, they would cast it in the air on the threshing floor. And the light wind would blow away that which is no good. And that the wheat would fall to the floor where they could collect the wheat. So that's what God is saying about the sinner man. It's going to come a time where he's going to be just like that. He's going to be cast up in the air. All of them going to be cast up in the air in judgment. But the sinner man is going to fly away like the shaft. He ain't going to have no rewards for the life that he's lived. He's going to be just like Lot. All Lot hard work. He left and he got burned up when he left. Amen. And I promise you, my brother and sister, I don't want to be like that. I want my works for the Lord to remain. Because only what you do for the Lord will last. Only what you do for the Lord is going to last. Only what you do for the Lord will last. So in verse 5 it says, "And therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." You trying to hide amongst the righteous, it's going to be just like a goat trying to be in the midst of sheep. You're easily pointed out, amen? You're a sinner, you trying to hide amongst the righteous. You're going to be just like a goat in the midst of sheep. God's going to separate the goats from the sheep. He's going to separate the goats from the sheep. So it says you won't stand. In other words, you won't be justified. You will live a life that even wasn't worth living. I'm going to tell you, the worst thing that can ever happen to somebody is for you to be born and go to hell. You remember when Jesus, when Judas betrayed Jesus and Jesus knew he was going to betray him, he loved him to the end. Loved him to the end. Said, "You, the one that sops is going to be the one that betrays me." But Judas still had that 30 pieces of silver on his mind. Loved him to the end. And Jesus said, it would have been better that this man hadn't been born for what he's about to do. And that's a sad commentary for you to be born and go to hell. Especially under this type of preaching that comes across this pulpit. If you go to hell, I promise you, you're going to burn well. You're going to burn well. Don't burn well. So verse 6 it says, The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. See, the way of the righteous, the Lord knows your ways. Why? Because you have a relationship with him. Do you not know how important that is? Man, God would take care of you. He will open doors that you didn't think would be open. He will close doors that you shouldn't go through. He will take care of you. Everything that I did before meeting Jesus, I did it hurting myself. Some kind of way I hurt myself. I lost good jobs because I hurt myself. I was a bigger enemy to myself than most folks were. I was an enemy to myself. See, but the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows those who's in relationship with him, and you in right relationship. When you in right relationship with God, that's the best place to be, because you're going to be walking in favor regardless of what happens to you. Your house might burn down, but guess what? You're still in favor. You might lose your job, but guess what? You're still in favor. Regardless of what happens to you, you know that you are still in God's favor. And I don't ever want to be out of God's favor. I never want to be out of God's favor. See, because I've been on that side, and I'm on this side. And I know too much about him to go back to that other side. I know too much about him. See, but the ungodly shall perish. And that word perish means to destroy, or they shall be lost. This is the path of to be traveled. We got one man, and he's got a choice of paths. And based on the path that you choose, my brothers and sister, will determine your destination. It will determine your destination. God ain't going to determine it for you. He created us to be free moral agents. See, if he has to buy your love or force your love, that ain't love. God wants you to love him because he first loved you. I love the Lord because I know now that he first loved me. That's why when some of these songs are being sung or some of the words being preached, I don't care if you see me cry. Jesus wept, and you ain't a man until you get to the point where you can cry. If you can't cry, you ain't a man yet. Because when you think about the goodness of the Lord and what he has done for you, how can you not shed a tear from time to time? How can you not shed a tear when you could have been dead and gone, sleeping in your grave? I carried the coffins of men that was doing the same thing that I did. But God took them and left me. And you think I'm not going to praise him? I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. And I'm so glad today, as I get ready to close, that I'm a blessed man. And I promise you, my blessings ain't got nothing to do with what I got in the bank, what I drive, or what house I live in. My blessings ain't got nothing to do with it. My blessings is because I know who I am, that I am a child of the Most High God. I'm a child of the Most High God. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So we thank God for his word. We thank God for his spoken word. We thank God for his written word. And we thank God for his rhema word. The Holy Spirit speaking to us. How many are glad that the Holy Spirit will talk to you? He talks to you. He walks with you too, doesn't he? And he'll teach you what you need to know. He'll order your steps in his word and through his word. Boy, something there. Boy, this is the last thing I ever thought I'd be. Saved. Last thing I ever thought I'd be was saved. But Lord, I'm so glad about it. I'm so glad. ain't no singer, but y'all pick up, y'all catch up and pick that up on. Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for your attendance, your attendance and your attention. And let's just make sure that we know where we want to go, and that we got a God that's watching. He sits high and sits low. Looks low. Ain't nothing we can do to hide from him. He knows your thoughts are far off. And so we need to be like David said. David said that I have hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I don't want to hurt my father. So when I do sin, I go immediately and repent. I no longer want to hurt my father. Amen? Amen. God bless you is our prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you is our prayer. Thank you for your support. And I thank once again Pastor Roger for having the confidence and allowing me to stand before his sheep. Because you don't know what folks going to preach and say this day and time. But like whenever I have an opportunity to preach or teach, I tell the pastor, you ain't got to worry about it because the only thing I know is Jesus. The only thing I know is Jesus. Hang on, I can't teach you how to get rich. But I can talk to you about managing your money, but I ain't going to try to teach you how to get rich. Amen. I'm not no naming and claiming man. Amen. Hey, you got to work for what you get. You go stand out there in that hot sun if you want to and put your hand on the car. Claiming it. Yeah, Lord. You got to work for what you get. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and circle up for prayer. Yes, Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. God bless you.
God bless you.
Man. God bless you, man.
God bless you.
Yes, Lord. Amen. God bless the preacher. God bless you. God bless the preacher. Amen. 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 We thank God for the New Bethlehem church family. And this is a church that's moving forward. This church is a light and going to be a bigger light to this community. Amen. Amen. I thank God for this church having a proactive pastor. He's trying to get us to not be introverted, but extroverted.
Amen.
See, that's where the help is needed.
Amen.
Out there. See, because if we just stay in here, what we'll tend to do is sit soaking sour. But we need to go out there. Amen.
Amen.
Are there any prayer requests?
Michael Spencer.
Michael Spencer. Any other prayer requests? Rhonda Atkins. Ivy, run to Ivy, okay. The Hambright family. Praise the Lord. Sickness all over the land. We need to be praying, amen. Any other prayer requests? Desiree Clayton, amen. The Green family. The Jones family. The Neal family and Todd family. Amen. Amen. Pray for our young folks, man. Our young men, they are practicing genocide within under our noses. The Holland family. Any others? The McLean family. Amen. Pray for the McLean family. Sister Bowie. Amen. Any others? Any others?
Naaman Lee.
Naaman, yeah, amen. Pray for Deacon Lee. Deacon Lee. And ask you all to pray for Jessamy Smith, my wife's mother. The Johnson family? Umstead family. Okay, amen. Miss Lolly Bennett. Oh, Lolly Bennett. Okay, all right. Let's pray for Pastor Rogers in his absence. And his family. Okay, all right, boy, you back to hiding, right? He hit on me. Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, Lord. Pray, amen. Amen. Sister. Sheila, Sister Sheila. Amen. 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 Okay. All right. If there's no other, we're going to ask Remley, if you don't mind, close us out.
The singles ministry?
The singles retreat.
The singles retreat, okay. All right, anybody else? That it? Okay, Reverend, you close us out.
Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow again today before your holy throne of grace. We bow thanking you, Lord, for this opportunity to bow down before your throne, to cast these cares on you, Lord, because we know you care for us. We thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. We thank you, Lord, for keeping your mighty hand of mercy over us, for protecting us and keeping us from hurt, harm, and danger. We thank you, Lord, for Reverend McGee and his family, and for this word that done went forth tonight. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor with his generous heart, giving us the opportunity to share with the people that you gave to him. Bless him right now and his family. Fill him with more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord, that he may guide us in the direction that you would have us to go. Then bless, O Lord, Lady Rogers and the children, Master, right now in Jesus' name. Pastor Emeritus Walker and Sister Walker, all this congregation that's here today, all these cries out, O Lord, for prayer. Each and every one, Lord, we pray right now for them, those that are bereaved, those that are sick, those that are in need, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you minister to each according to their need. Then, Lord, we pray for the New Bethlehem Baptist Church family, Lord. Bless our family, Lord. Let us grow, O Lord, according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.